Thank you for listening to My Not Today. I'm your host, Bob Tim. My guest today is Tom Smesrud.
That's right.
All right. Tom, you are the custodian at First Baptist.
Correct.
And I invited you here today because the pastor, Kent, and his son told me you'd be a great guest.
I thank them for that. That's a vote of confidence, a nice one.
Well, I'm always asking the audience to refer people to me, so I'm glad that somebody did.
A little hesitant because I didn't know. I've never done anything like this, but it's just a conversation.
And our conversation today is going to be focused on gardening because it is the season.
Oh, boy, is it ever. I'm really into it right now. So
we just tilled our garden. The only thing we have in it at this point is tomatoes, but we will get everything else in probably this weekend. It's not too late.
No, it's not. We actually got a little bit of a head start this year. Usually I'm in Fargo planting my daughter's garden, but she moved, so I couldn't do that. So I've actually got mine in 2 weeks prior to my normal time.
Wow.
Pretty happy about that.
I remember times where I've stuck the shovel into the ground and hit ice.
We almost did that this year.
Let's talk about prep for those that haven't even started yet. Again, they're not too late either.
No, they're not. Some of the prep that you can do for your soils is, of course, tilling it. If you're working with boxes, you know, just kind of stirring things up. Some people don't believe in stirring things up at all. They just plant right into what they have. And there's all sorts of different thoughts on that. You know, around the North Dakota area, we've got no-till farming, where they just plant right into their stubble and they don't plow it up each year. Well, some of the gardeners are kind of taking that bent again and just planting right into what they had. You still have to worry about crop rotation and so forth. But soil prep is important because you want to make sure that you have the right nutrients. You want to have the right types of composts or peat mosses, depending on your soil types.
For Joe Average, like myself, how do you know if your soil is right?
You can, of course, have it tested. Your county agents and stuff have kits and stuff that you can get. But you can also just go to different stores, Menards, Home Depot, places like that, and they'll sometimes have test kits available for you. And it's mainly to see what the pH level of your soil is. And that could determine whether you plant tomatoes or peas. Your pH determines that.
I've always added things to our garden, but it's generally been little things. My wife loves to throw eggshells in there. I know some people put in coffee grounds. We haven't done that, but we go through a lot of coffee, so we could.
Yes.
And for the last several years, we have been adding 2 bales of peat moss.
Yeah, a couple of bales of those things helps loosen up your soil and make it retain moisture better and hold water better for the plants. You have to be a little careful with peat moss because it can sometimes acidify your soil.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You don't want to do that too many years in a row. And it also doesn't break down as fast as, say, like coconut coir or wood mulch, you know, really fine wood mulch, things like that. Straw, you know, composted straw, things like that.
I've never heard of the one thing you mentioned, coconut something.
Coconut coir is usually main purpose in seed starting. When you buy seed starting compound or soil, there's two types. There's peat moss and then there's coconut coir. And both work well, and it's just the coconut coir is just a little bit better than the peat moss kind.
You mentioned very fine wood chips or whatever. There's been times I've thrown sawdust in my garden.
Perfect. Organic matter.
Yeah.
And eventually it breaks down over a long time, and it helps your soil build a eco-culture.
Let me ask this, too. We have had problems with, I think it's creeping Jenny, I'm not sure, but it's a pain. And when I dig down, there's these white roots that just go really deep and everywhere. I've been told that you can use a product like Roundup or some other product on it, and still plant like a week later or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes, you have to be careful that you don't plant right into it or your crop will die. It has a little bit of residual on the soil and around it for just a short time. I even keep pets and stuff away from it. It's, glyphosates are nothing to be, you know, messing around with. If you don't know what you're doing with it, you've got to be very careful with it because it's pretty nasty stuff. And it does the job, but it has its side effects too, so. Just you got to be careful with how you use it.
In the prep end of things, for those beginners who are listening, what should they be looking for? They're looking at their yard and they're not certain where to put their garden. What do you suggest?
Of course, you're going to want a flat area, a flat surface that you can maximize your square footage on without having to build or terrace or anything like that. Some people are just going with boxes. I do a lot of box planting. I do 4x8s, 3x6s, all sorts of different kinds and sizes of boxes, and you can build those up. You can put them right on existing ground, and the prep is real easy. And once you've round up that area, you killed it like a week prior. And then you can just put your dirt right on top of it and start planting. But you got to be real careful with that stuff.
And when you say box and area, we're not talking there being a bottom to the box.
No.
Okay.
No bottom on it.
I have a neighbor that last year made several raised box, and it was their first year, and everything burnt up.
A lot of times when people build those boxes and stuff, they don't know anything about the fertilizers and things like that. And those boxes, if they're in direct sun, they can get hot and because there's not enough depth to them.
So the obvious answer to not having your raised boxes burn up is to water them.
Yes.
Is there a trick to knowing how often or how much water? And again, I realize we don't know if we're talking a 1 foot deep box or a 3 foot deep box or what, but what's the signs to watch for?
Well, of course, you know, wilting plants, browning of curling of leaves, things like that. But, you know, the easiest thing to do is just stick your finger in it. If it comes back damp or cool, you've got water in there. Your plants will survive. If you put your finger in it and you can't get your finger in it, of course it needs water. You know, so raised boxes are really nice for those that don't want to bend over and things like that. And it's real easy for weed control because they're not on the ground. But boxed ones on the ground are going to give you some much better results because you're actually putting a really good surface soil on top of existing, and then you're tapping down into that. And you can get some really fine results by doing it that way.
Well,
a little more bending involved, but...
That makes sense.
Yeah.
The other area I'm asking as far as picking the spot on a lot, do you want something that gets the maximum sunlight or not?
Absolutely. You want something that's going to get you the full 12 to 16 hours a day of sunlight. You don't want something that's going to be just getting afternoon sun. If you just have afternoon sun hitting it, chances are it's going to get hot, it's going to get beat up, especially if you're on a slight slope. Plants a lot of times will grow better if they get more morning, early afternoon sun and then shaded from that hot sun. But you look out on in the fields, out in the country, they don't have shaded areas and crops grow just fine, especially if you can maintain a good water supply.
My father-in-law, who is no longer with us, he hated trees.
Yeah.
He was a farmer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. The ground is prepared. Everything's ready. Again, I'm going to say that I would bet that less than 10% of the people out there actually have their soil tested. Wise to do so?
Yes, it
I
is.
Should do it myself.
Yes, everybody should.
But
it also tells you what your nitrogen content is, what your potassium content, things like that, because your micronutrients are so important to growing a really good, healthy crop and a flavorful crop. You know, if you're just planting into sand and peat moss, you're going to get the blandest carrots you ever tasted.
Ah.
But if you have some micronutrients in there with some nice composted soil or composted organic matter, they'll have a lot. They'll grow more sturdy, more healthy, and way more flavorful.
I had no idea, and that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that I've eaten food that was grown hyponically. Is that what the word?
Hyponically?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And most of the produce that we get around here in the wintertime is hydroponically grown in greenhouses. Case in point, tomatoes. Everybody's had those, you know, gray, flavorless tomatoes during the winter, you know, and I'm so looking forward to my fresh tomatoes. And, And but when you start hydroponically growing stuff, you do lack those nutrients that are naturally found in soils. That's what you want to go for.
Something you said made me think of something that I'm going to go off topic a little bit here and say we just had our first watermelon of the year. Where was that grown?
Boy, that's hard to say. This time of the year, they're usually coming out of South America.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, South America and Mexico.
Okay.
Because I don't think the California crops are quite ready yet. But I started some tomatoes in my garden, in my greenhouse must have been January, February. And I've got one red, ripe one just ready to come off.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, it is. I'm guarding that thing like it's, a treasure.
Absolutely. I would be, too. So once the seedlings come up, let's even take a tomato that I just purchased at Lowe's or at Menards or somewhere, and that seedling is, 6 to 8 inches tall, then what should I be doing? What kind of care other than watering? Anything other than watering?
The planting of a tomato seedling, for instance, is different than if you're planting a cucumber seedling.
Okay.
A tomato seedling, you want to plant it as deep as you can get it and supplement it with fertilizer eggshells, which I use because they need that calcium. And eggshells is a long, slow release, so you can never hurt your plant with lots of eggshells. And bone meal, things like that. And that goes right in the hole. Put a little dirt in, water it in, put your plant in, and bury it deep. And you don't bury the whole thing, of course. But you right up to the last top couple of leaves, and that's all you got sticking out.
Oh, dear.
And that will help you get it through times where the water might be a little bit short because you're weatherproofing your tomato by planting it deep like that. And then, some good organic fertilizer scattered around it at what they call the drip zone. And that's where when your plant is grown up, and if it rains, that will drip in a circle around that plant. And that's your drip zone. Well, your roots extend out about that far. Oh. And if you put your fertilizer around that area and very gently work it in, that drip zone will drip and slowly seep that nutrients and stuff back down into the root system.
That's a great idea.
Where it can utilize it.
And I can see how well that would work. Like yesterday morning, I think, when I went to work, I had to wipe all the dew off my windows, and that would be dripping off and feeding that plant.
Yep. And a lot of your vegetable plants don't like to be watered on the top, tomatoes, peppers, things like that. I personally use a soaker system on a timer. And so, once a day, they get a little shot of water. It helps them prevent, when we get into the hot period of the summer, from them drooping over and their little tongues hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a daily light watering like that. If you're going to be out of town, make sure that, you give them a good soaking before you go.
Yeah. Tom, I told you that 15 minutes goes really fast, and we're already there. So what I'd like to ask of you is if we could do another episode on maintaining and pruning and things like that. And I got a feeling we could probably even do a third episode just on keeping pests out of the garden.
Sure.
That's something I'm finding is more prevalent. We're dealing with deer, and that's really something. And so do you think I could get you to come back and visit some more?
Yeah, we could do that. I could do that.
Excellent. Again, we're visiting with Tom Smizrud.
Smizrud.
There, I butchered it the second time.
That's okay.
And, Tom, again, I just want to thank you for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.